live from Radio Row at the New Orleans Ernest and Morial Convention Center. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Still in New Orleans, another day leading up to Super Bowl 59. Love it here, New Orleans. Treating us right. Adam Hill, Steve Cofield. Lots of good conversations throughout the day. We'll have those for you back in Las Vegas. I hesitate to actually open the floodgates with Adam Hill because his taste is very weird. There's been a lot of cool sightings, interviews here at Media Row. We're here. The rest of the bigwigs are here. And yet you think the story of Radio Row is a college basketball coach.
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, it's a personal obsession me and a couple of friends have. But the current situation at Wisconsin Green Bay with their head basketball coach slash national daily radio host, Doug Gottlieb. If you're not following the story, he has lost, I believe, 19 straight games. They are 6-18 against the spread in the second half this year, which means probably not making a lot of great adjustments.
This is I thought of this. He's doing something revolutionary. He's hosting a national radio show and he's coaching a Division I basketball team. There are limitations, though, to doing your show because we have events like this. You go to the Final Four. Like, I was thinking, if we go to the Final Four again, like, Doug Gottlieb, well, that's after the season. Like, he can do that. But
unless he makes the Final Four.
There's no way he'll be able to do the Super Bowl, and he's here.
He's here at Radio Row. He just walked by us. We just saw him.
It's pretty damn incredible. That's a contract. That's a contract. He hasn't written his contract. He can leave for 4 days, 3 days.
He has a game on Saturday.
Amazing.
So I assume he's not going to be doing his show through Friday. I did see a tweet from somebody who covers the team that said he's going to miss tomorrow's practice.
Jordan McCabe. They're in good hands.
But he will apparently return for Friday to travel with the team for their game as they look to break their 19-game losing streak. I want to be around.
If I can grab him, if I can book him tomorrow.
Yes.
One question.
Why are you here?
Okay, that's it. You just leave it at that? What about the kids?
Maybe, like, what exactly do you do all day? I mean, I know what you're doing. You're hosting a show and getting ready for it.
Yes.
But are you also preparing your team, or is that just, whatever?
So we're starting to lean towards
the kids. Or should the question be,
you can't do both.
Is the question be, do you think your show is suffering as much as your coaching?
I listen to the show. It's close to what it was.
Okay, good.
But I would think
that means he's maintaining a standard.
Because it is insulting to both sides. Or maybe it's not insulting to the sports radio world, and he's just so talented that he can do it on very little prep.
There's not a lot of people.
Hurts our cause in negotiations.
There's not a lot of people, Steve, that can host shows and do another job full time. It's a very hard thing to do.
Yes. Somehow you've juggled it for 20 years now. And look at how far you've gone.
Exactly.
You do realize we're completely really holding you back.
I'm crushing it.
Just like your
it.
Bosses think.
Crushing it at both ends.
You're just laughing. That's good sarcasm. What's going on, Griffin? Back in the Finley Toyota Studios. How you doing, buddy?
Doing amazing. How's it over there in New Orleans,
guys?
Why
does that sound like you were not doing it?
He's never ready. He's always thinking. I think, so last night, I said I wish you were here because you're 238, right? At 238, if you were on the site producing, we had a convo with Will Hernandez where I think we eclipsed. I think we were going to go over 1,300 pounds.
As a group?
Yeah, it's five of us.
Just an
impressive number.
Yep, and I think we matched that today. I didn't ask Max Starks how big he is, but he played at 6'8", 340. We've actually, if you're going to hear this throughout the show, we're becoming the official offensive lineman show.
Why is our friend Randy not wearing his hat? Like, wear your slime hat.
Oh, put on the slime hat. You're lucky.
Wear the slime hat.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, where are you? Well, you're carrying it in your hand. It's supposed to be a hat. It's on your head.
Probably for the kids.
There we go.
Oh, that's a look.
That's a look.
You guys are tremendous. We'll see you, buddy. Have a good night. They had good guests today. He does a good show, man. He does a big time show, Knockout Radio in Tampa. He's been doing that for like 30 years, something like that.
Yeah, for sure. Those all the Bucks players that have been in here come by and, you know, hang out, talk to him for a little bit.
Big MMA guy. was back when we were all covering it in the beginning.
Exactly. On the ground.
Not these noobs. Ariel Helwani.
Rookies.
Is that Jabron going to be down here? He likes probably to mix it up.
I'd imagine.
Are you on speaking terms with him or not?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We're going to talk a little MMA sort of later on. Yeah, we do. We are. Rashad Evans is going to be with us.
Yeah.
I like Rashad. I haven't talked to Rashad in like years. I always like talking to him.
Former UFC light heavyweight champion.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Sports come a long way.
Yeah, so we are the official offensive line show. Even if there are actually like real offensive linemen doing a podcast or show, we lie. We really don't. Like, we don't brag. Like
no.
Griffin can brag about actually going and playing football in college.
Well,
you guys were just flops, but you still carry the mass. So when they sit down, it's kind of believable. Like, well, yeah, we all played O-line. Griffin.
The issue is a lot of people that are like former, you know, that are sports radio people or, you know, sports media people will kind of talk about their glory days of, when I did it, this, like.
No, we kill ourselves.
Ours is we were nothing. We were terrible,
you
awful.
You are a dancing wussy bear.
Yeah.
And then I guess JVT like broke his shoulder or something. Some excuse.
That's what he claims.
Yeah,
held him back.
It held him back.
Yeah.
The potential was not reached unless he. We will send you to the web on a lot of interviews. Mike Smith was talking about his X-Tech pads, and John was like, "I think I would have made it with those pads."
Yeah.
And you just laughed.
He was like, "If I had those, wouldn't have the shoulder injury. Would have made it."
Along the way, we're going to catch up with some Raiders throughout the day. We're also going to talk to some of the great broadcaster town here, Super Bowl champions. So in just a little bit, I want to talk Mike Tomlin. I also want to talk about what's going on the ground here. We need a true Southerner to talk about what's going on food-wise in New Orleans. Great setting. Some gambling talk later on as well. Some exotics. We'll have a guy in who makes the odds for some of the weirdest events in the world. But up next, Max Starks, former Steelers on Sirius XM. Breaking down the offensive line play, and also, again, getting us the sniffs around town, the flavor around New Orleans.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans, brought to you by Paul Padilaw on ESPN Las Vegas.
Another fun day in the Big Easy. I'll tell you what, if the media gets to validate the selection of cities. We've been in some bad ones where the media murdered Jacksonville. Most people here love New Orleans. Max Starks is one of those guys. He played O-line in the NFL, works for Sirius XM doing radio, 6'8", 3-something, two-time Super Bowl winner. He sat down with us, and we got into football, but we kind of getting that vibe of the Big Easy and getting his thoughts here in New Orleans.
Well, I will say this, you know, New Orleans is a very special city, right? When you think about 11 different Super Bowls hosted here, it's a place that's near and dear to the Steelers' heart because this was the first site that they played at Old Tulane Stadium. They played the first Super Bowl IX here, and won their first ring. And when you come down here, the energy is just, it's different from a lot of other cities because there is the history, the culture, the musical aspects of it, the flavors of the town. I mean, when you walk in a restaurant, if you're not knocked out with flavor senses, then you obviously have no taste buds and no nostrils. I mean, it's amazing, and the people are so nice and so engaging, but yet it's a madhouse, right? This is all contained on the banks of the Mississippi, right? I mean, this is something that's pretty awesome to see.
So a media person, I'm not saying they're a good source on it, but they scared me a little earlier because I love the city. I come down once a year on a vacation because I have timeshare here. And they were like, the stadium's old. New Orleans ain't going to get the Super Bowl for a long time. I'm like, what? This should be one of the top five locations. This should be in the rotation. Have you heard that? That New Orleans could be out?
No.
All right. For like Philly, if Philly builds a dome?
Philly. No. No.
Big event.
Immediately, get out of here.
Well, because, I mean, you also have to think about what's the tourism, what is the experience around the actual stadium, and does that area make you feel? You go wherever they're going to build it in Philly. I mean, you go to the lake, it's not exactly the most inviting place in the world to go.
Right.
You know, I mean, you have to go like four blocks to get to a Chickie and Pete's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that place, but like when you have New Orleans, like the city was built around this stadium, it feels like, right?
Yeah.
and the culture is here. Like Tulane University is right down there. You take a little trolley train to get to the Garden District, right? You got Bourbon and Canal right over there. In fact, the Chiefs are staying right there on Canal, right next to Bourbon Street.
We watched them walk in their hotel the other day, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, so that's something you don't get anywhere else. Normally you'd be pushed out. Like, think about next year, right? Everything for the Super Bowl is going to be in San Francisco, right in downtown. Can you price yourself out? Yes, if you want to go buy a sandwich or coffee. You can't do both. And then the teams are all staying out in Santa Clara. Like, that's not an experience. So this place is homogenous. It's beautiful. They didn't gouge the prices on the food. Like, you still go get a good etouffee at a reasonable price. You know, get you a little redfish and some gumbo. You can have all of that authentic flavors and experience right here in the city.
Etouffee is the thing on the list that I got to add. That was the one thing.
Yeah. I was going to ask, is it good?
Yeah.
We haven't tried that one yet.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. It has that kind of roux base, a little bit lighter, right? With the crawfish mixed in and the rice. Mm. It's a good type of comfort dish.
You talked about the food here and, you know, it, being excited about it. Like, going out with John. Yeah. Like, he's, like, blown away everywhere we go.
Oh, I've never been here. I think I told you when I was talking to
you. Yeah, you were telling me. Yeah, it was your first time here. Yeah. Did you get a po' boy yet?
We got one last night. Yeah,
okay,
we went to Nova Po' Boys at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's the perfect time to have a po' boy, by the way.
It was absolutely fantastic. And I also got, what else did I get? I got a crawfish pie.
Pastry.
It was great.
Oh, that's delicious. So think about that, like, little bit of sauce that's in there. That's what the etouffee is kind of made in, that type of sauce. And then you throw a little bit of white rice on top.
Dude, I'm down. He's a wimp. He doesn't like fish. And I don't really like fish that much, but, like, every bit of fish I've had down here has been awesome. I still think the blackened catfish is one of the better things that I've had up to this point.
Okay.
I love it.
Now, I don't know where you're going, but I would say you got to try the redfish.
Redfish,
Pontchartrain. Or they do any type of Appaloosas type of catfish or redfish.
You're all over this. I love it.
See, I'm from the South, and this is probably my favorite cuisine around the country is right here. Because you have family. I mean, it's right there on the I-10. You just drive that. You're in Florida and a hop, skip, and a jump. And so I used to come here all the time as a kid with my family.
Max Starks is with us with Cofield & Company. So my experience last night, first of all, I told these guys, you have to get fried chicken here because it's one of the best fried chicken cities anywhere. Willie Mays is awesome. Neo's is great. So I walked into a place last night, Brothers.
Oh, ho, 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 ho.
I'll just say I stood out.
Yeah.
And then I did have a woman who was like tall. She wasn't fat, but like of good size. She was dressed nicely, right?
Yeah.
And she goes, "Do you want chicken or something else?" You got graphic.
Yeah.
I was like, "I'm gonna have the chicken."
Yeah, I'm just gonna be simple. You know, just chicken. I'm not going to say what cut I want. Just whatever you think is appropriate for the chicken.
I was cool with it. I was like, whatever, man. If you're selling, you're selling. Doesn't matter to me. That's part of the Super Bowl as well.
Exactly. Well,
I will say, we've done the graphic stuff. The other thing that's blown me away is the culture thing. Like, was it Jefferson Square?
Jackson Square.
Yeah. That was really cool. Like, I'm going to go tomorrow. I think is there a World War II museum here?
There is.
I'm going to go to.
That's where Taste of the NFL is with Mark McMillan. Yeah.
Yeah.
With our buddy.
At the top of my list to go to tomorrow. So the culture stuff has been awesome out here, too.
Oh, yeah. Have you been to Cafe Du Monde?
We tried yesterday. It was closed.
Oh, it was closed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't staff overnight. So no more 24 hours.
Oh, that blows, man. Yeah. Yeah, you've got to have beignets at Cafe Du Monde and some chicory coffee.
Yeah, we're going to try it at some point.
Got to do
it. We don't like actually talking football on this show, as you can see.
I have a football show in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Guess what? We don't talk football either. Yeah. So I'm comfortable with all of this. This is great.
I do find this to be a very interesting offensive line game, though, in that one is really good and one is not. Although the Chiefs have been better lately. So, I mean, have they improved enough that they have an offensive line that can help them win this game?
That's where I would say probably the biggest matchup of this game, that's where the eyes are going to be, right? Mm. You know, because Joe Tooney is a fantastic guard, and he's been a serviceable left tackle. And I would argue that the defensive ends that he's seen since he's been there have not been to the caliber of what the Eagles have. And also, the Eagles have multiple guys across that line that you're going to have a lot of issues. Like, Tooney can get the chips. He can get a little bit of tight end presence to kind of help him not get out on the island too much. But that attention is going to go to Jalen Carter with Trey Smith, right? That attention is going to go to Jordan Davis over Creed Humphrey. You know, and then don't even think about where Bryce Huff is, Nolan Smith, and Brandon Graham is still on this team. Old man Graham is still here. Graham Cracker is still on that squad. So they have a rotation of guys on that line that you can't single or neutralized because another one can take over. So that's what's going to be really interesting for the Chiefs is, do they deploy a little bit more too tight end, right? Bring out Gray with Kelsey and try and have them more in line coming off of it. Pacheco, Samaje Perine, does he come in? Because he's a fantastic blocker out of the backfield. You start to use him a little bit more as he get, you know, because Pacheco's just getting healthy. Do you want to have him there? Because you know Kareem Hunt's going to have to be your multi-purpose running back.
The other side of this, when you watch Philly, how good are they in terms of blitz pickup and protecting Jalen Hurts from that? Because they're going to see a lot with the way that Spagnuolo calls these things. That exotic blitz against Josh Allen at the end of that game was great, really won him the game. So how do you evaluate Philly from that perspective and how they'll match up?
You know, I think, obviously seeing Cam Jurgens Monday night, you know, and walking around and no other apparent things on him, like to keep him in sync. I think that's a side, and, you know, we'll see. I didn't see Landon Dickerson at all. I was trying to look for Landon. How healthy is he? I think that's going to be really the key. And I think for Mailata and Becton over there, like, they're going to want to spread things out and get them moving laterally. That's going to be one of the keys. But I think as long as they can pick up whatever, because, you know, Drew's kind of that guy that kind of, he looks wild cardy because he doesn't fit your traditional linebacker size. So as long as you don't forget that he's a linebacker and stop treating him like a safety or a nickel slot, you should be okay. Because I like Lane. And his experience, he's seen it all. And he doesn't struggle. And he's going to have Karloftis on him. And I'm sure they're going to do some slants and twists between him, Nadi, and Chris Jones to kind of get him off kilter. But like I said, Landon Dickerson's health is going to be key and how he is. I think that's really the bigger thing than the blitz pickup.
Yeah. So who's winning?
I got Philly. And it's not because I played in Pittsburgh for like a decade. And they're the Eastern little brother that I call. But I think if there's a time, like, Philly's team is actually built to handle what the Chiefs can do. And I think that's something that I can't really say that about a lot of other teams. And the fact that this is their second time in 3 years seeing each other, I really feel like that's kind of going to be the difference maker.
I got to wrap on one last thing, and I apologize. I had to walk away for a second if you guys already asked this. I get excited now every offseason when I see the hate's a little strong. But the frustration with Mike Tomlin, and I don't know if it's coming from Steeler fans, but I'm like, please let this guy go and see what the rest of the NFL does. Yeah. I'm not rooting against him because, like, Raiders just got, Vegas just got Pete Carroll. I think he'll do a good job. But I was like, I'm a Jets fan. I would take Mike Tomlin in a freaking heartbeat. But that said, we saw it with Andy Reid. Do relationships get to a point where you're like, you know what? It's time to freshen things up. Should Tomlin leave? I've been saying the last couple of years, if the fans there don't appreciate him, leave.
Yeah, well, I think it hasn't gotten to that point where the fans don't appreciate him. I think it's a lot of ancillary, outside fringe fans that like to get on social media, and then people love to retweet and everything else. I mean, you talk to a couple of people that are just like, man, I just wish he would get back to the beginning of his career at the end of it. But at the end of the day, you've never had to blow it up. Why do you want to blow? I get it. People love seeing things set on fire. They love fireworks and everything else. But at the end of the day, if it works, and he has not had a quarterback, I mean, face it, Ben's last 2 years, they were just holding on, right? And you haven't had a true quarterback come in there since. It took 25 years to find Ben Roethlisberger after Terry Bradshaw left. And you're trying to piece it together up until then. And I think we've gotten closer. And the fact that you've still been in the hunt, you've been in the playoffs the last 2 years in a row, you have to appreciate that until you can get a quarterback.
Big fan of your work on SiriusXM. Great job. We appreciate the time. I know you're super busy. Max Starks on Cofield & Company. Thank you.
No, my pleasure.
Now back to Cofield & Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans. Brought to you by the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar on ESPN Las Vegas.
No video, sir. Please. Yeah, it's not a waiver. Joke. I feel impenetrable. We have Cesar Ruiz sitting with us. He's an offensive line. Oh, the big fella's here. We're aggro right now.
Do you know him? I know who it is.
No, I do. I don't know him. I know of him.
Oh, yeah, it seemed so, like you know him if you're going to make that.
No, not at all. No, I just think it's funny.
I don't know who it was.
I don't care. We have a set that has over 1,100 pounds of power. Cesar Ruiz, I almost said Rams, Saints offensive line. I'm punchy, man, sitting with us. You are a South Jersey guy, but I know you at some point decided to prep and move south and go to IMG. When did you do that? And get into your football playing background. How far back did it go?
So I started playing football, you know, just in the middle of the street with my friends, like 8, 9. My mom eventually just signed me up when I was 10, so that's when I really first started playing organized football. And, you know, after that, you know, went to high school, and then I went to IMG after my sophomore season. You know, it wasn't the plan to go there. I wasn't ever like, you know, I wasn't trying to leave my high school, but the opportunity was there, man. I had to take it.
What high school?
Camden High School.
So you went to Camden, yeah. Which is renowned for basketball, guys, if you don't know this.
Yeah.
It's crazy basketball tradition. So how hard a decision is that to kind of leave all your guys and then, but you know it's next level stuff when you get to IMG.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, you grow up with all these guys. You know what I'm saying? We all had talked about playing high school ball together growing up as a kid. And then, you know, sometimes you got to make a decision, man, and it was tough. But eventually my guys understood because, you know, the opportunity right there was something we all dream for and work for. So,
Steve usually gets very mad at guys who leave New Jersey and go to Michigan or Ohio State, yeah. But he's not going to call you out on it because he's scared of you.
I went to Rutgers, so I'm very much a loyalist.
Yeah, it's funny because it's not Rutgers fans need to understand. Like, right, it's nothing wrong with Rutgers. When I was in high school, Rutgers were like my fifth offer, and I'm in New Jersey. So I got offered by South Carolina, Temple. I think LSU might have offered me first, and they're like, and then, you know, I'm getting all these North Carolina. I'm getting these schools, and like Rutgers. I'm like, what took you guys so long? Yeah,
should have been a couple years ago.
Yeah,
so what's going on?
Yeah, so then I'm like, oh, I mean, well, these schools are pretty cool, bro. You know what I'm saying? They had to jump on you guys, so.
We talk about that all the time here. There was old regimes at UNLV where they wouldn't recruit locally. They wouldn't offer guys in town, and that's kind of important to establish that relationship, at least immediately, for a guy in your backyard to at least know that you've been noticed.
Yeah, truly. I think a recruiting strategy that works great, I think a lot of colleges should use. If I was a recruiter, if I'm in a city that has a ton of talent and my school isn't getting all the top talent guys, I'm going to offer as soon as I hear a kid has a spark in his name, I'm offering him. I don't know what that kid's going to – I'm going to offer him because I need everybody in Jersey to know, hey, Rutgers loves their Jersey guys, or, like, you know, wherever you're from, because it's important. Mm-hmm.
Well, I am from Ann Arbor, so thank you for making the decision that you did.
He lit up.
Go blue, first of all, we'll go with. I guess – what was it like for you? I mean, obviously being in the NFL and, you know, having moved on from there, but to see that national championship and the way the fans were able to celebrate that, how did that feel for you?
Man, it was great. It was great to see them win that national championship, man. It was, I knew it was coming, and I felt like it was special to us because we never got to beat, like, my team. We never got to beat Ohio State. We never got to beat.
Don't remind me.
Yeah, I know. But listen, it's fun now.
Yeah.
That doesn't even exist in my mind anymore. I don't care. I love seeing them. I love seeing these guys win now. And it's great because I feel like we look at it in a way, we're part of the foundation.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we had to go through it, so we had to crawl so you guys could run. So it's fun. I love seeing them do it now. So.
Well, we were joking about this after the national championship. Technically, you guys have now won 2 straight. I mean,
yeah,
considering you beat Ohio State at the end of the regular season, they go on to win the national championship. By process of elimination, Michigan won the national championship this year, too. Yeah.
Didn't they beat Alabama, too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got to beat the champ to be the champ. So they haven't done it.
I think Michigan was the best unranked team. We're really the best unranked team, I think, in the country. We beat Ohio State and Alabama.
We're back next year. You are in New Orleans now. The Super Bowl is down here. People are experiencing the city. It's got to be pretty cool to live here.
Yeah, it's fun to live here, man. It's fun. It's eventful. You never know what you're going to see. But the thing that's fun about this city is that it has a culture. It has a culture, and this culture is very, very, like, it's serious. And, you know, when I first got here, it was some adjusting to do, but now I've completely embraced this culture, and I love it. And I see why people feel so strongly about the culture here. I love it.
It's we're experiencing the food culture and the drink culture for sure down here. Yeah. What should we try? What food is available here that we should try to really learn about, you know, like, this is what's local?
Man, there's so many different things you could try out here. I don't want to – I hate to give, like, the touristy answer because I live here, but, man, there's –
We're tourists.
I know,
fine,
I know, I know,
that's
I know.
The point.
Where's this place called? I'm trying to remember the I think it's Willie's Fried Chicken, I believe. It's Willie's Fried.
Willie's got like 20 buildings. We walk around all the time. He owns like a million shops.
Yeah, there's one. There's no, one.
I think he's talking about not Willie's, the chicken finger place. He might be talking about Willie Mays.
No, I'm talking about
because Willie Mays
spot.
Burned down. Yeah, they got a new chicken. One, so it's a chicken now, spot.
Yeah, it's across the street from the shops on Canal.
Okay,
right,
okay.
Right,
that's
right here by the
water. It is Willie's.
Good,
amazing.
That's solid.
That's crazy. That's good.
Being down here in New Orleans, you are very familiar with the old Raiders quarterback, Derek Carr, who's been here a while. What has he been like in the locker room? What kind of a leader has he been for you guys?
Derek Carr's been great, man. He's been a great teammate, great friend, too, like great off the field as well. And he's been a great leader for us. You know what I'm saying? Love Derek, respect Derek. He's just been great. You know, he's been great for us as a leader in the locker room as well. Like, and just a good guy. He's a really good teammate.
What is next for you? What are you looking to take that next step in your career? Where's your development right now?
Well, right now I had a goal set for myself, and I wanted to improve on some things, and I improved on those things, and now my goal is to improve off of the improvement. So consistent improvement is what I'm striving for right now, and that's what I'm really working on. So
I apologize if you asked about this already. You're in a weird position here. No head coach.
Yeah, we the only ones by the head coach? Are we the only ones?
You're the only ones. I mean, I think you're waiting for one of the guys in the Super Bowl.
I think that's playing this week.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I have no idea. Honestly, I'm just gonna wait and see, like everybody else. We have no insight. You know what I'm saying? So I find
they
out.
They call you up?
No.
Hey Caesar, who do you want?
Yeah, they don't call me. Hey Caesar, they don't call me. I'm not. It's above me.
I'm fascinated by this though, because it's true. I cover the Raiders, and so I'm there every day. And I'll call players like during the search, and like, hey, you know, what are you hearing? What's going on? And they're like, I don't know. Like, I'm asking you, like, how much do you actually pay attention to that stuff, and how hard is it to avoid all the speculation and stuff like that?
Man, especially now the season's over, I try to make sure like I get to let my mind and decompress from football. Yeah. I don't want to sit here every day. I'm like, who's going to be my head coach? I'm just like, hey, look, whoever's the head coach, man, when I find out, I can't wait. You know what I'm saying? But right now, I'm not going to think about it, because I can't control it. So just control what you can control and just continue to enjoy life and, stay in shape.
What's a normal offseason for you like when it comes to communication with the head coach? Like, is there something different now that you guys don't have one? Is there more on you, like, to take care of yourself, direction, anything like that?
I think the difference is I don't have one.
Am I still on the team?
Well, you're under contract. You're on the team. You're part of the organization.
No, it's definitely funny. It's not funny. I wouldn't say funny, but it's definitely like I don't know who to – because my offensive line coach is with the Seahawks. I don't know who to call.
Right.
So we kind of just sit back like, all right, let's see what happens. So let's see what goes down.
Super Bowl close. This brotherly shove thing, this tush putty. Like, you watch as an offensive lineman. Why does it work with the Eagles? It was working with the Bills, but then the Chiefs stymied it, so I'm kind of interested in that matchup. But why do they do it so well?
Yeah, the Eagles, I believe they started it, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, they invented it. So they're going to be perfect at it. They're perfectionists at it. And I love how, like, people get so mad that they can't stop it. I'm like, hey, that's deal with it.
Big fellas, stop us.
I'd love to see these offensive linemen come off the ball and just roll great and move these people back, man. It's just sometimes it is interesting. I think I watched them run that play, like, I think when they played the Commanders, they ran it like where the guys were jumping over the center, like jumping the snap count, man. It definitely was something, man. But I'm all for it. Hey, stop it. That's what I gotta say. You know what I'm saying? If I had a play that was, almost 100%, I'd tell you, hey, stop it. Cry about it.
Offensive linemen are finally the stars, and they're like, we got to change the rules.
Now you guys want to change it because we're – no. Cry about it, man. Stop it.
Did you know that the refs could award a touchdown when they came in and whistled as Washington's been formed? They keep doing it. We're going to award the touchdown.
That's something. Yeah. It's something, but I knew there was something. I'm like, there's no way you can keep getting these penalties. Yeah. Like, at some point, something's going to change. So
there he is, Cesar Ruiz, guard. We talked to him earlier in the day from the Saints. Gave us a skinny on New Orleans. Give some love to the big fellas. Coming up, not such a big fella anymore, in much better shape than he was at any point in his career. Rashad Evans, we're going to talk a little fighting. He's a Bills fan, so Adam Hill and fighter Rashad Evans, nose to nose, they went at it.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans, presented by on ESPN, Las Vegas.
Getting a little quieter here. A lot of hustle bustle, middle of the day in New Orleans. You heard it, Meteor Up. Make sure you get out to one of the great Super Bowl bashes this weekend. Big game bash. Someone offered me a chance last minute. They're like, yeah, I can get you in at Circa. I'm like, cool, man. That's the place to go. CircaLasVegas.com, Big 8 Bash, Big Game Bash, Big Game Bash, CircaLasVegas.com. Search it, and they've got multiple venues where they're doing the football party on Sunday, including our home on Thursdays, Victory Burger.
Very nice.
Yes, the overhang.
I think I'm actually going to be at Circa on Sunday.
Do you know where you're going to be? Meet and greet, kiss babies.
I do.
Oh, not going to indicate it. My invite was from someone who was like, I think I can get you in at Stadium Swim. I was like, nice. I want to go, but got a big group, already bought tickets elsewhere.
Oh, I guess you won't be there.
We could have hung for once.
No, that's not where I'm going to be.
Oh, okay. Wow, secret. When's the last time we did? Was it actually the 28-3 Falcons lead? Were you there?
I was at...
You remember where you were? I do.
I mean, I was at a local handicapper's house. Not handicapper.
Oh, you were?
Oddsmaker's house. Okay.
I was downtown at the, I don't know what it's called now, at the old Coins. I feel like there was a transition in between, or maybe it's the same bar.
No, there's been like six different spots.
I think at the time it was called Red.
I think it was still Insert Coins at that time.
No, it wasn't. No, because it was all cleared out. I remember specifically because... It was the next year, right, when the I shouldn't do this. When the Eagles beat the Patriots, I think. Because my emotions had built up so much.
It's so hard to remember the order of the years.
I've blanked all of it because it was such a miserable time
in
my life.
Because of those darn Roman numerals.
Such a miserable time in my life.
The Roman numerals kill you.
A little hardcore. Calm down.
You're like, oh, who won LXIIV? I can't remember. That was, by the way, not a real Roman numeral. Just want to see if anybody noticed.
I didn't notice. You could say anything.
I know.
You could misrepresent this one. I'd be like, yep, 59. That's what it looks like to me. Who learned that? Who retained this?
Nobody. That's why we don't know. And that's why we can't remember what order Super Bowls were in, because nobody remembers the stupid Roman numeral.
Yeah, I had it right. Patriots. No. Yeah. Patriots beat the Falcons. Then they lost to the Eagles. And then beat the Rams in the 13-3 game. The Seattle game was that far back? Yeah. I remember where I was for that one, too.
Where were you for that?
At my house. I did a Super Bowl party at home, and I've got a center wall that splits two rooms. And I kind of, I had TVs in both rooms going, and I, peeked around the corner as they were going for the touchdown, and they threw the interception. And then, everyone else in the house was recovered in a minute. And I did laps around the separation wall.
Well, you talk about...
It seemed like hours. I'm like, I don't know what just happened.
You talk about how long... You know, how long ago things were and losing perspective of it. I was actually talking to a player on the Chiefs the other day and asked him what's your first Super Bowl memory? Like you were, a couple years old, maybe in the crib. You remember a game you were watching?
Those are tough off the cuff.
And he said, he's like, I know.
Got it?
And he said it was the David Tyree catch. And I was like, wasn't that 3 years ago?
Nah.
It was when a current player was 3 years old, so... Little longer than I thought.
Griffin, I'll let you think about it. First memory of a Super Bowl, Adam?
In my mind, it's Tim Crumrise leg breaking.
Okay.
It was a big moment for me.
Why? Did you have a bet? Was there a prop? Someone will break their leg?
Tough to watch.
Oh, okay. Oh, that was one of your first sports disasters that you got to watch?
Yeah, it was gross.
Yeah, mine, if I'm correct, what I remember... is I don't remember anything specifically. I think I remember Cowboys and Broncos in 78. I definitely remember Steelers Cowboys 79, and then for sure Rams and Steelers with Vince Ferragamo.
Try to see what year that injury was. If it adds up to when I would have been watching it. Let's see. What's XXIII?
Don't do this.
Do you know when Super Bowl XXIII was? I have to remember.
Well, now
something.
I'm just scrolling to it.
I have to remember something before this. I would have been
some Niners Bengals.
Yeah. I would have been 9 years old. I have to remember something before that. That's the one that really sticks in my head, though.
You know, the first Super Bowl memory I have, it was the first actual game of professional football I ever watched. It was the reason I chose my team. It was Super Bowl XX Bears versus Colts.
We're all going to do this now.
Why wouldn't we?
Stop. Because you know how much I hate it.
I'm trying to see. There's got to be.
And now, by the way, you're getting on my nerves because who made the key call in Josh Allen not getting a first down and getting the Chiefs here? It was that Seaman guy.
Oh, and was his dad one
and
of
his
the
And his dad was a Super Bowl official 2 out of 3.
Oh, you know
I'm going to say 89, 90, and 91. So you already referenced XXIII.
Wait, which Super Bowl did you say?
You talking to me? I said Super Bowl XX.
You do not remember that.
Bears. Oh, you're right. I was trying to make sure I got the right one. I said Bears Patriots. It was Bears Colts 2000. I want to say 7 or 8.
Yeah, because I was going to adjust.
When were you born? It was like you tried 1986.
It was Super Bowl XLI. That is the one.
See,
I was talking
you're screwing
about.
Yourself up because you're trying to adhere to his.
I told
here.
You this is why we don't remember because it's so
confusing.
Because I was going to say I might be wrong. It might be before Crummer. I'm pretty sure I remember the refrigerator Perry touchdown, and that was in XX.
Oh, I would give anything to be able to say I watched that game live.
I often it's a weird way to reference things, but I often grade. I try to grade sports talk radio host in the wild. And for me, the whole thing with sports talk is you are hanging at a bar and you are debating with your buddies, right? And I've always said there's some nerds out there and their bits. They wouldn't do that in a group because they would get dismissed so fast or thrown out of the bar. And this is one of those things. If someone, like, I can't dismiss you or throw you out. You're too big. But if you started in on Super Bowl memories with Roman numerals, I'd leave.
I think most people and their friends sit around and talk in Roman numerals. They're like, yo, can I borrow X dollars? Like, do you have change for an XX? That happens all the time.
Please stop.
You know what they really messed us up was when they went away from it just for that single Super Bowl 50.
Yeah, they don't want Super Bowl L.
I thought we were going to have a beautiful line of just now normal numbers, people.
That would have been the perfect time to make the change, too.
A perfect time.
I like the tradition.
Have they ever explained? Actually, you were one of 40 people at Raj's special invite-only press conference. This should be your thing every year. When are you going to change this? The people have spoken.
Wait, I was one of how many people?
I don't know, like 50 people at the commissioner
press XL?
Well. I said I'd throw you out of the bar, but this is your material.
It's good stuff.
It's not.
What do you like better, my Roman numeral bit or my impression of New Orleans music yesterday? Because I think that was fun.
That was pretty good. Were you doing When the Saints Come Marching In?
Da-da-da-da-da-da! They just do that all the time. It's just everywhere you go.
That song made me very happy, man. That was a happy song, and you were poo-pooing it yesterday. Poo-pooing it.
It's so bad. Everywhere you just walk around town. And the worst part is sometimes it's just dead quiet. You're just walking around, just kind of regular crowd noise. And then out of a bar, you're just here like, da-da-da-da-da-da. And they're like, all right. We don't need it. He's in and he likes it.
It's an anthem to start having a good time.
It's so
beginning of
stupid.
It's a little quick sounder.
It's such a
dumb song. It's seared in your memory. It's worked.
Why did they decide, like, this is going to be the song? We love this song.
Because it's their song.
You also shouldn't be able to know what song it is based on my impression, because it's so dumb.
Okay, I don't think you can hum it or do a da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, what's our song in Vegas?
We don't have one.
Yeah, we do.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
We don't. I mean, if you're going to try
it's
to
probably,
go.
It's probably more famous than the freaking Saints Come Marching
In. You want to go like Viva Las Vegas?
Yes.
No, then it's not played when you walk around.
Well, how do you do it, though?
Viva Las Vegas.
I just like when you're just walking
you just,
around.
You just sing it.
Da-da-da-da.
Everyone, get it. By the way, everyone who walks up to the set tomorrow and they start looking at our banner and be like, Viva! They'll get it.
If they say anything.
Oh,
I'll
that's
just hit,
that, that's
I'll
even
just
better.
Hit them back.
Just say Viva, and they have to fill in. You're not coming on unless you know the song.
I'm going
to
hit them back. If they walk up and like, hey, Viva Las Vegas, da-da-da-da-da-da, and just like go right back at them. I'm not doing it.
These aren't, you know, I got to flip it real quick here because we got some transactions made. Technically, they're not really transactions. I think we just find out like, they didn't make it. The Raiders' assistants. Some of them made it, some of them didn't. And there was hope, because when you first hire a new coach, like this happened with UNLV, it's like, Dan Mullen said he's going to keep a few. Is that going to be seven or two?
Yeah, there was more, I think, than retained than people really expect, and I think the Patrick Graham one is a really good move.
I am still shocked by that.
Yeah.
I figured that is absolutely a regime change move. You love Patrick Graham, so you should have done a feature on this if you haven't already. I don't read your stuff, so you like every once in a while I'll mention something. You're like, I wrote about that 3 weeks ago.
Right.
How many? Well, it was an interim situation, but even that, how many coordinators survive three different head coaches? Get the third deal.
It's rare. It's incredibly rare.
In the history of the NFL.
It's uniquely rare, especially because you would think if a coordinator was that good to overcome that kind of odds, they would have had a head coaching job, that they wouldn't have been sticking around. Somebody else would have hired them, and that hasn't happened. And, you know, I've talked about why I don't think it will, because he's just such a nerd. It's kind of tough to come across in interviews and really be, you know, blown away by the
have
guy.
Have you told him this? You're kind of friendly with him. Like,
he's often called himself a nerd.
No, not the nerd part. You're basically like, he's not getting a job.
He will at some point. He's going to be so good that he will get a job. Okay. He's still young.
All right.
He's still just mid-40s. I mean, it's not like he's like a 60-year-old coach that's just never going to get one. He will get a job at some point. But I think it might take like some place that's interviewed him before, and then they come back to him, and they're like, oh, yeah, we do like that guy. And obviously his resume is very good on its own. But, yeah, I think that the nerdiness part of it, it might be – you know, some time to take to get used to it from some people.
Of these guys, who was your favorite guy to talk to or be around? And you can say none of them. So, Caddy Williams, Cadillac Williams, Edgar Bennett, Mike Caldwell, Ricky Manning Jr., and Fred Walker.
Ricky Manning was really interesting in the way that he dealt with the DBs and the way he talked about it. Obviously, Cadillac Williams, because it was a guy, you know, grew up watching and playing. Not even grew up, like, you know, around the same time. But, you know, somebody you remember as a player.
Sugar Bowl XX.
Yeah. Yes. Whatever. They don't do that in the Sugar Bowl.
No, they don't.
So it's a guy that you remember in that regard. But Edgar Bennett, EB, was always, you know, always really good to talk to. And, you know, I think that's a guy that you know, kind of miss on the staff and say, that was good when he was around. The times we get to talk to the assistant coaches, he was definitely one of the more intriguing ones.
Coming up, Justin Watkins will be in studio, our attorney to the Stars, as he'll join us for a little bit in the 4 o'clock hour. We got some football stuff to get into. More of the war between the ladies atop the Pac-12 or whatever it is and the Mountain West Conference. Teresa Gould and Gloria Navarez, come on, Olive Branch. Let's get something done here.